My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She is the president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. She happens to just join me from a hospital as we discuss the ongoing debate over the president's healthcare plan, with new revelations, new details of this plan coming out every day, and opponents of the law, given the recent Supreme Court decision and the even more recent November elections, would seem to be running out of options to thwart the implementation of this law. But Grace Marie Turner is here to tell us that there is a thriving Obamacare resistance movement growing, and she's here to talk to us about that as well. And Grace Marie, it's always good to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you, and it is also a pleasure to be in a hospital that's still providing really high-quality care to Americans, and we hope that continues, but I'm less optimistic as a result of this health law.
Well, we should point out that Grace Marie is not a patient right now. She is visiting.
I'm not a patient, no. I'm visiting a friend.
Very good. Well, there's so many different details coming out now, and it harkens back to that comment from then-Speaker Nancy Pelosi that you have to pass the bill so Americans can find out what's in it. One of the things we have discovered now that you and I talked about a while ago, but now members of Congress are talking about, is this tax on medical devices, even a group of Senate Democrats looking to at least postpone, if not completely wipe that out. And now we're learning that the cost of covering people with pre-existing conditions is not free like we were told at one time. So I know there's been a whole list of revelations, Grace Marie, but what do you make of these last couple?
Well, you know, we have always known that the cost of this, the pretend costs of this law were fictitious from the beginning, and we're going to have huge consequences throughout the whole health sector. And of course, if you increase the cost on medical devices, everything from drug-eluting stents to the supplies that that people need to take care of diabetes, what's going to happen? The prices are going to go up, and not only the cost of the devices and the equipment, but therefore the cost of health care, and therefore the cost of health insurance. There are taxes on drug companies. There are taxes on health insurance companies. There are now taxes on payroll taxes for people in higher, really in Washington area, modest middle income groups. And you're starting to see these costs beginning to seep through and affect the ability of, for example, the medical device companies are saying they're either going to have to move and base their operations overseas to avoid these new taxes, or they're going to lay off workers here, or simply not even be able to continue their research to new and better devices. It's distorting the health sector in the micro level and in the macro level.
And we're talking with Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute, who has also recently written an opinion piece for Forbes. And in that piece, she talks about how the Obamacare resistance movement is still alive in a number of different ways. You point out, though, at the beginning of the article, Grace Marie, that the first two ways to stop this, as I mentioned in the introduction, were the Supreme Court and the November elections, both of which didn't turn out the way that Obamacare opponents would have liked. But there has been one area that's been talked about still here in Washington that hasn't been really utilized or even advocated that much lately, and that's the purse strings that the Republican-led House of Representatives controls. What have you heard from them about how serious or even whether they're willing to go down that road?
Well, the Speaker has made it very, very clear that, you know, while it's going to be very difficult and not impossible to repeal the law as long as President Obama's in the White House because he'd veto it, they have a lot of powers to investigate, to defund. I mean, the administration needs more money in order to set up all these federal exchanges, these marketplaces around the country, because states are refusing to do it. And they need money to do that. Well, if the House doesn't appropriate it, then what's the administration going to do? And if they take it from a bucket that's designed to be spent for something else and they spend it on that, then the House is going to need to investigate that. So the White House is going to need to follow the law, and the Congress is going to hold their feet to the fire to make sure that they do. So defunding, beginning to dismantle, there are some parts of this law for which there is bipartisan support for repeal, including the medical device tax that we were talking about. Also, this independent payment advisory board that is going to become the Medicare rationing board. Support on both sides of the aisle for that sort of hatchet attempt and effort to cut back on health care costs. So looking at those areas where there's bipartisan support for repeal, looking at areas that the Congress can defund requests for new money. Most of this is set up on autopilot, you know, as an entitlement. But if the administration needs new money to make any of this work, the House has an ability to put the brakes on that. And then to, as I said, oversight and to really make sure that they look at how this is being implemented and make sure people know if they're not following the law.
Grace Murray, you mentioned something in passing there that I think might surprise a few people. You're saying there's a growing consensus on both sides of the aisle for perhaps repealing the Independent Payment Advisory Board. What type of momentum
Absolutely.
Is there for that?
Absolutely. A lot of Democrats, including people you know, very much on the left end of the continuum, are saying that they do not believe that a bunch of 15 unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats should have control over literally hundreds of billions of dollars in Medicare spending. And Congress kind of has kicked the can in Obamacare by saying, well, it's really too hard for Congress to figure out how to cut Medicare spending, so we're going to appoint these 15 people that nobody can fire to make all these cuts. And they set it up so that it makes it very hard for Congress to intervene and to stop them. And there's no judicial review. So a lot of people are saying this is not the democratic process. And in fact, the Goldwater Institute in Arizona is suing, saying that this is not constitutional. You cannot have this independent board making decisions about federal spending.
Away from the potential legal case that you just mentioned, do you believe there's enough in a 10-seat Democratic majority in the Senate to do something about that? And even if they do, obviously you'd have to get the president to go along with it. Is that doable?
Well, unless you get a veto-proof majority
right.
on both sides. I think that's really the question, is whether or not you could get enough votes on both sides. And I think a lot of this is going to be a few issues are likely to percolate to the top and to really be issues that get enough public attention so that they really can be tackled by the Congress and, you know, put enough heat on the president. Obviously, one of these big omnibus bills, there is a possibility of getting a few provisions to begin the process of delaying, repealing, and dismantling this law. And once that starts, I mean, this law is not going to work, Greg. It's just not going to work. It's going to cost too much. It's causing too many dislocations in the health sector. Wait till people see the sticker shock of how much this new comprehensive health insurance is going to cost them personally. And by the way, it's now mandatory. I think you're going to see a huge backlash. And that's what I was talking about in my Forbes piece, where so many people are saying, well, the law may still be on the books, but I'm going to figure out my way around it. Individuals are going to say, I'm not buying this expensive insurance. I'm paying the fine. First year, it's only $95 to avoid having to pay $5,000-$6,000 for health insurance. Businesses are saying, I'm going to pay the fine rather than buy this expensive insurance because it's even the fine is more than the profit margin for many companies. Governors are saying they're not setting up these new health exchanges. They're not expanding Medicaid because they can't afford it. The Cardinal Dolan, president of the Catholic Bishops, has said, we will not comply with this federal HHS mandate that charities, Catholic charities, and other Catholic institutions, hospitals, universities, have to provide services that they find morally objectionable. They won't do it. We will not obey, he says. So you're going to, I think, in this, there are about 40 court cases still challenging this law. So you're going to see, you're seeing this Obamacare resistance movement starting with citizens and businesses and religious leaders and states all saying, we can't comply with this law, and we're going to find a way around it. And then Congress is going to have to look back, and they're going to say, oh, my goodness, they said this was going to cost $1 trillion for 10 years. Now the price tag's already up to $2.6 trillion, and it hasn't even started yet. So they're going to have to look at the cost of this from a federal perspective. Individuals are going to look at the cost of it from their own perspective, businesses, companies, states. I think this resistance movement is going to get stronger as we go forward, as more and more people find out what's really in the law and the damaging effect it's going to have.
Are you suggesting, Grace Marie, that we're going to see a large-scale civil disobedience here?
Well, I don't know that it's a visit. You know, I don't even know that it's going to be people marching in the street, but I do think this undermines the civil society because so many people are going to try to figure a way to not comply with the law. And the Supreme Court, I mean, Chief Justice Roberts basically said, well, you know, it's one or the other. Either you buy health insurance or you pay this tax. Totally making it kind of a neutral proposition. Well, excuse me, in my book, this is violating federal law to not buy mandated health insurance, but he's just saying, well, you just have the option of paying the tax, and so it's an equal thing, paying a $95 tax or buying a health insurance policy that costs $7,000 or $8,000. Those are not, on the scales of justice, those are not equal.
So, Grace Marie, we've got about a year now, just a little over a year before full implementation in 2014. So if we were to talk a year from now, what do you hope would be the scenario and what do you think will be the scenario?
Well, a year from now, October 1, actually less than a year, about on October 1 of 2013, all of the states are supposed to have these new marketplaces, these new state exchanges up and running so people can enroll in this new Obamacare health insurance to get the new subsidies. Well, if this is a very complicated process. A lot of states are saying they don't want to have anything to do with it. Even the ones that are trying to set them up say they don't have enough guidance to know what they're supposed to do. I think there's a very real chance that startup date for many states, for many people, is going to have to be delayed. It's just not going to work. I think you're going to start to see people having sticker shock from the cost of the insurance when they see how much they're still going to have to pay, even if they get a subsidy for this health insurance. For a family making $35,000 a year, they could still have an out-of-pocket cost every year of $5,500. So when you start to see, then you're going to have some new estimates of the overall cost to the taxpayer of the law. It's going to probably be up to $3 trillion instead of 2.6 this year. So people are going to start to see the realities of this law that we've been trying to warn them about all along, and it's going to become clearer and clearer. And I think people are going to say, wait a minute, I want more choices, and they're going to demand that Congress either delay it, give people more choices, or begin to fix this legislation. It's just not going to work.
A lot to keep track of, and Grace Marie does it better than anyone. Grace Marie, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Greg. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you. Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.